Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and I hope you are having a wonderful start of the Memorial Day weekend, especially if you're here in the United States. This is the time where we celebrate. First of all, our kids all celebrate the start of summer. This is their few weeks, few months, depends on where you're at, where they can chill out. But this is a time for us, those of us that have been in this country since birth, some that have just come a few last few years, who celebrate and say thanks to those who have given their lives sacrificially for our freedom. Jim Gilhouse tonight and myself on Aces Radio Live will have our annual Memorial Day tribute. We will be talking about really the good, the bad, and the ugly, what it means to be free. You know, freedom comes with a price. No matter what side you're on. I'm going to get into Tommy's book, so don't get me wrong here. But, you know, one of the things that just burns my butt are my Christian friends. And, you know, I'll watch on TV or I'll see something, and here's what they'll say. Can you believe that they let that book in the school? Can you believe they're going to let the Muslims have prayer time? Yeah. This is the United States. Freedom is for everyone. I don't have to agree with it, but they got the right to express their opinions, their religion, their stupidity in some cases, just like I do. And I thank God every day that I am here in the United States. You know, that's it. I'm Southern by birth and American by the grace of God. And that's how I look at it. You know, this is a wonderful country. And this evening on Aces Radio Live, we will take the time to commemorate and celebrate the men and women of the armed forces and the men and women and children who stay at home, who give them their support because they're the true unsung heroes. Today, timeout, winning strategies for playing a bigger game in life. Tom Hopp, we're on chapter 5. There is so much nuts and bolts. You need to go buy this book. You can go to TomHopp.com. TomHopp.com. Buy the book. Get a hold of Tom. Tell him I sent you over there. It won't save you any money, but at least he'll know that people are listening. And you know what? $5 of every book goes to your favorite charity. And I love that. I love that about this man and his wife. They are great people. Chapter 5. Have you ever wondered why you're just not starting? Man, you're excited, you're motivated, and then you don't do nothing. Why? Tom starts this chapter off. He says, "You have been the author of many stories in your life. You have authored these stories based on real and imagined life experiences. All of them have been written using your playbook. Some have served you and others have not. Some have served you, others have not." See, what we've got to look at, we have two choices. It's all about choice. Matter of fact, you guys know my where I stand on things. And you know what? The Bible makes it very clear. We have a freedom of choice. It's not just an American right. It was God-given. God doesn't use us as puppets. He says, you have freedom. You can accept me or not accept me. You can accept my son or not accept me. You can live a normal, everyday, rock-solid, great life, or you can go out there and you can do all kinds of stuff and shorten your life, I guess. Be a crazy person. Go out and kill people, maim people, lie, cheat, steal, whatever the case is. The choice is ours. But see, here's the problem. So many times, and I've seen this in my life, people, well, I didn't have a choice. This is just the way I was born. My mommy abused me. My daddy abused me. Uncle Barney abused me. The police abused me. My school teacher. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about the whole, you know, I was beat up. I have a big nose. I have a little nose. All this crap. Now, listen, I'm not going to make light of physical and mental abuse. Okay, I'm not making light of that. But I used to, as you guys know, I used to be a bail bond agent. I bonded out a lot of people. But something that I've always found really fascinating is how individual women actually look at and face abusive situations. And there's three things have come to mind. I'm going to use this as an example. I think men are probably the same way to a certain degree. Number one, especially if it's been a physical, mental abuse where it's there's been sexual violence, there's been physical violence, emotional violence, any of that, here's what happens. Number one, they go out and become a little slut puppy. They think, oh my gosh, if this is just the way it's going to be, then I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take charge. They become controlling. But it's all about the sex. Give me the money, give me the toys, give me the time. If you want something from me, you're going to earn it, type attitude. Second type of woman says, I never want to be touched or be around a man ever again in my life. I'm going to make myself look as ugly as I can. I'm going to gain weight. I'm going to cut myself. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. And the third, most of the time with help, overcomes, moves past, and gets on with their life. It's not easy. I've seen men do the same thing. Most of the time it's not sexual abuse as much as it's been physical or mental, but sometimes it's sexual. Sometimes it's a void, it's a hole left because of rejection. And they have this thing. There's always three avenues. And most of the time, at least two of those avenues will be self-destructive. If you're not starting, then it's time today that you look inward, not outward. And you decide, why am I not starting? One of the things that I found, and Tom talks about right here, and this is perfect. Write this down, study it, analyze it. Recall a time in your life when you felt you were victimized one way or the other. It could be at work for all that matter. It could be politics, whatever. Be sure to include all the anger, frustration, disappointment, hurt, and sadness that you felt. Don't leave anything out. Include the details and how emotionally distraught. In other words, relive the emotional experience. Get in there deep. See it. Understand it. Don't succumb to it, just understand it. See, now you have just, you're writing this down and you have authored your victim's story. It's that plain and simple. Tom writes it this way. Okay, you've now authored your victim's story, regardless of how you felt at the time and regardless of how you feel about the event now. Even if you feel you've gotten past it at this point, this is your story when you felt victimized. This was it. But now, this is the cool part. Listen to what else Tom writes here. He says, now imagine for a moment two people facing each other, and you are standing beside them holding in your hand a standard 8.5x11 notebook. On the front of it, maybe it's got transformers and it's really cool looking, let's say. And on the back, there's nothing there but just the white backside, okay? As you hold the notebook in front of these two people, one sees the front, one sees the back, you ask one person, what color is the notebook? And that person that's looking at the picture of the transformers is, man, it's got blue, it's got red, there's Bumblebee with his yellow and his black stripe, and there's Optimus with his cool blue and red truck, and they're describing it. And then you look at the other person and say, can you please describe the color of the notebook? And, well, just white. Same notebook, two different experiences, two different viewpoints, two different sides. Now think about this for a second. You just wrote your victim's story. But what happens if there's another side to it? What happens if you view this not from the victim's standpoint, but from a responsibility standpoint? And I want to stop. I used an analogy of females. I'm not saying women are responsible for the abuse they take, so don't try to read that into that. Just listen to what I'm saying. Tom puts it this way. It's the perspective of responsibility. That is a different meaning and context from being responsible for knocking over a glass. The perspective of responsibility does not put you at fault or blame for the event. However, it does offer you choices around your experience of what you've been thinking and feeling of the event. In other words, you're going to get to choose the experience that you have. I'll go back to a few weeks ago, sitting at Harbor Docks, eating my breakfast, when a former friend and colleague and boss walked in and publicly started calling me everything in the book. Had we been living in the 1800s, that would have been the signs of a gunfight. I had the opportunity to do one of two things. It was my choice how to respond to this event. And I responded. I listened, shook my head, and said, "Do you want to sit down here and have breakfast? And we continued to eat and have breakfast. We talked about him and his life. That's the name of the game. You have a choice. You have a choice of what's in the future and what's in the past. The choice is yours. Here's six tips that Tom gives us. Write these down. This is important. Six tips. Number one, drop the drama. When you retell your story, leave out the drama and the emotions of the event. Oh my gosh, I was walking down the street and these big bad wolves came out and they stole my lunch. If you don't think that this is real, listen to me. I challenge you. Turn on the TV. Look for a horror movie. Not a horror movie, a horror movie. One of those movies with the scary people. And turn the volume all the way down to where you can't hear a word. And watch it. After about 5 minutes, turn the volume all the way up. Listen how the music plays into the emotions, plays into the nervous system. Now, watch it in the daylight with the sound up or down. Then turn all the sound off and watch it at night. Then turn the sound up and watch it at night. See how it all changes. Drop the drama when you're retelling your story. Number two, just state the facts. Number three, drop the shame, blame, and guilt. Get rid of that. In my belief system, that comes from evil, doesn't come from good. Just trash it. Get rid of it. Number four, start earlier in the story and look at the choices you made that led to that event. Now, ladies, men, if you've been in emotional or physical abusive relationships, you started into them, and if you can track back, you'll see exactly what caused you to get started in those types of events. You'll also know what to do to leave those events. I was on the phone with a phenomenal friend of mine, good mentor, and we were talking about that because a few years ago he divorced his wife after he had been physically abused for so many years. I know it's crazy, but it happens. It is amazing. Start earlier. Look at the choices that you've made. Number five, look for insights and intuition that you ignored. Okay? Now listen, there's a time in my past where we would help people, help females, get to safe houses with their children. Okay? I am not into this abusive crap, but at the same time, I've seen women go back over and over. I've seen men date and marry the same women over and over and over, and then they look at me and say, "Man, I don't know why she's screwing around on me again." It's like, hello, her face is different, her body's different, but her attitude's the same as the last one. You have to get out of this mold that we get into. We all do it. Do not get me wrong here. Number six, use the words, "I choose." You get to make the choices. See, when you do that and you start everything out with, "Well, I chose, I choose, I chose, I choose," all of a sudden, bam. I had a choice one night. This would be kind of halfway funny. Josh and I. had taken off. We were in Kansas City. Decided to, I had needed to go over to the office, pick up my mail. And Paige goes, look, can you bring me back Schlotzky's? And the only place it was on the Kansas side of the deal. So we're an hour away. We go over, we pick it up, we come back. We're coming up the exit ramp. We're 5 minutes from home. We go across the bridge, and he looks over and says, Dad, is that dude trying to jump off the bridge? I said, no, man, this is Independence. Nobody does that. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, well, surely somebody would have helped him. We turn the car around, we go back. Sure enough, this old boy's trying to jump over the freaking bridge and jump down, kill himself on the interstate. So, I sneak up behind him, grab his little bony butt, get him on the ground. I'm holding him there, waiting for a daggum cop. Cop doesn't show up first. Instead, it's an attorney that hands me his business card and says, if he sues you, call me. I saw the whole thing. It's like, okay, that's freaking great. Cop finally comes up. He goes, man, I'm glad you were there. He goes, I was down below and no way to stop the traffic. I mean, this dude would have caused, death like crazy. Not just his own, but other people's. We get, ask the cop what he wants to do. He goes, I want you to go. I want to do the report, but let's get him back down to the psych ward at the hospital. We go down there. This guy had been released that day, but he still wasn't fixed. He'd been drinking. He made a choice to try to kill himself, but it's that guilt, that shame, that poor me attitude that got there. But here's what happens. I call Paige, said, honey, I've got your sandwich, but I just saved this guy's life that jumped over the bridge. She said, yeah, right. She thought I was lying to her. She made a choice to believe or not to believe. Now, it came out. It was cool. I don't know what happened to this guy, to this day. We left the hospital. But everything that revolved around it made a choice. I could have said, oh, I'm going to be like this attorney. I'm not going to touch this dude, because he might sue me. It didn't happen that way. At the same guy, that guy could have said, I'm sick and tired of my life, and I'm going to make a change. That didn't happen either. See, we all have choices. And if you want to sit around being a victim, I have three granddaughters. Three granddaughters with three mothers. All three of these women are unique in and of themselves. Three granddaughters. Actually, I got four if you count my ex-daughter-in-law. But here's the kicker in this. Every one of them have been victims in one aspect or another in life. Born on the wrong side of the tracks, my best friend committed suicide, my mother died of cancer, I was abused as a child. Four different daughter-in-laws total, three current. And the interesting thing is only one of them has pulled herself up by the bootstraps. Said, I'm not going to take this anymore. Went over and joined the Coast Guard and is having a successful career and is beautiful baby boy married to my son. See, we cannot stay the victim. So now go back to your story that you wrote. And this time, just the facts. I chose. Take the perspective of responsibility. And see how the story starts to change. See, Tom wrote in this chapter, there's benefits and there's prices that are paid. Well, what are some of the benefits if you pretend you're a victim? People give you pity. People give you handouts. They feel sympathetic. You get a lot of attention. You get to play it safe and comfortable. You get to look good to save face. You get to be right. You get to make others look wrong. You get to control people through manipulation. The list could go on and on. But what are the prices you pay when you get to pretend that you're the victim and you never get started? You never get off under the right foot. You never get to see your dreams come true because you want to have a freaking pity party. You want to know what happens? Your health suffers. You have a lack of energy. You're always stressed. You're frail, you're incomplete, you're unhealthy, you get a lack of self-esteem and confidence, you get disempowerment, lack of trust, you're not in control, could be a loss of income, loss of time. time, loss of compute. It could be everything. You know, my daddy taught me something. I remember, I mean, man, I bet I wasn't knee-high to a grasshopper. And he'd ask me a question, and I'd start getting, you know, all the story involved. And he'd say, boy, don't you dare make an excuse. An excuse is nothing more than a fancy way to cover up a lie. You either take responsibility or you're going to pay the price. You know what? I've never forgotten that. Ever. My dad is the biggest pain in the butt. I mean, he is worse than my mom. I just didn't like him sometimes at all. But you know what? I learned so much from him. I keep learning this day. Matter of fact, I was on Skype with him the other night, just having a blast, just chatting with him. We were talking about recipes and barbecue and the weekend. And listen, you better start learning from your past. You've got to stop this crap. When you play the victim, you never get anywhere. You can't operate looking backwards. You got to operate with a forward thought process. You got to say, I can be somebody. I can reach my objectives. I have a purpose in life to fulfill. So what happens? What happens if you start to say, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility? There's some prices that you're going to pay if you take that thought. Here's the price. You're going to give up the pity party. You're going to give up the sympathy. You're going to give up all the attention. You're going to give up playing it safe and comfortable. You're going to give up looking to good and saving face. You're going to give up the need to be right all the time. You're going to give up the right to manipulate and control people. But there's a lot of benefits. You get to be healthy. You get to make love. You get to be in love. You get to have friends. You start to have those passionate, trusting relationships. You start to feel good about yourself. Your self-esteem comes back. Your confidence comes back. You gain some control in your life. You start making plans again. Your income goes up. Time freedom goes up. Your business opportunities expand like crazy. All of a sudden, you have that liberty and that freedom. Is that not what we're looking for? Think about this for a second. Imagine a life full of passion and fulfillment. My friend Dondi Scamanchi comes to mind. Here she is. She rocks the banking world. Kicks butt like crazy. Top of this male-dominated industry. One night in a hotel room, coming back from a conference, she's physically attacked, beaten. Most of us, male or female, if that happens, we're going to be freaking out. What have I done? Why did this happen to me? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Dondi went through all that. But she overcame it to become one of the most phenomenal speakers in the modern time, for male or female. And I love it. Nothing holds her back. You've got to be that way. You can sit there and say, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to go a different path. I'm not going to play the victim anymore. I'm going to take a different path. I don't want sympathy. I want to be able to go out there and help other people and empathize with them, help them get somewhere. You have that control. Together, we can walk through this. That's why we do the radio shows. That's why we hang out with people. Folks, have an awesome, awesome weekend. Remember what this is for. Join Jim and I tonight on Aces Radio Live as we dig deeper and deeper and deeper into why America is the kind of country that it is today. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back with me Monday for Who's Playing the Game in Your Life, right here on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.